Okay? Psalms chapter 37, verse 1. And take your Bible, lift it up, put your finger on it. This is the living word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true. From Genesis to Revelations. Today my heart is receptive. And my spirit is alive. As I learn to submit my will to His will. I am forever changed. A child of the living God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, take this message, take this time, and honor it, I pray, in your mighty name. Amen. Verse 1, it says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. That's a very good statement. Because there are so many Christians out there today that are envious of people that are doing evil because they are projectedly increasing their way of life. Don't even think on it. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Woo! Now that should excite you. And wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His what? Faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the I might have to say that again. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Wow! I told you I like this. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. And your justice as the noonday. I want to take you back to verse 5. Because here is what we're talking about. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will, who will? He will bring it to pass. That's so important for us to understand. That's what God wants to do in all of our lives. Lord, this is your word. Help us. This morning, I want to take us and I want to help establish faith and commitment. We've all been, for this last few weeks, been talking about faith. Well, I'm going to bring you into the understanding of faith and commitment. You got to put those together. Because if you have faith, you're going to eventually have to have commitment to let your faith grow. Am I right? Your faith can only grow so far until you make a commitment to help your faith grow even stronger. We will find out just how vital faith and commitment is in our everyday relationships. We cannot be successful in life, nor can we be successful Christians without faith and without commitment. Now you got to understand, in our world today, especially in this area, people will tell you left and right, and I hear it over and over again, you know, about commitment. Well, I don't want to be committed. I can't commit to do that. Well, you know, the Lord spoke to me. I mean, I really hate that when people turn around and say that, when, you know, and blame it on the Lord. If you don't want to do something, don't say the Lord told me not to do it, unless He really did. You know, there are things out there that God does tell us not to do. And that's true. But, you know, it's just, I like to take it. No, I don't. The difference in a contribution And total commitment is usually the difference in failure and success. The difference in a contribution and total commitment is the difference between failure and success. Does that make sense? There's so many people that like to contribute and have that ability to contribute, but won't make the total commitment. As long as they feel like I'm contributing, but I can't make that total commitment. Let me give you an example. There was a chicken and a hog, pig, hog, whatever. We're walking past a church building one day. When they noticed the Sunday morning sermon posted on the outside bulletin board saying, helping the poor. They walked a ways when the chicken suddenly came up with a great suggestion. My dear brother Hog, why don't we give all the poor people a nice breakfast of ham and eggs? The hog thought for a minute, like hogs normally do, and replied, now, that's all right for you to say, because for you, it's only a contribution. But for me, it is total commitment. Do you understand the difference between contribution and commitment? The commitment costs everything, where a contribution only takes a tidbit. It doesn't take everything. You know, I believe in, if we look at commitment, we have to first of all think on commitment, and it means commit your works to the Lord. Everything. You know, I have to understand, you got to understand, I believe we have a God that loves all of us, but he's also a jealous God. Okay? And I do understand that when it comes to faithfulness and commitment, our God is a jealous God. He wants all of you. You're not going to like the next statement, or none of you. He didn't want a contribution. He wants total commitment. He wants all of you. Proverbs 16:3 says, roll all your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. That was by the Amplified, by the way. But do you understand what he was just saying there? It says, roll all your words, commit all your words and your works upon the Lord. Commit them. Trust to them. Wholly to him. To who? To who? To who? Yes. To commit them to God. Everything you do needs to be committed to God. All your works. All your thought patterns. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. See what happens when you commit to God? All of a sudden, your thoughts become agreeable to his thoughts. He will help mold your thoughts into his thoughts and to his will. He'll mold you into his will for you. See, God has got a perfect will for each and every one of you. He has a perfect will. So many of us are going by what I call his submissive will. We're walking down that road of submissiveness where we could be walking down that road of perfectness and what God really desires from us. And I'm not going to, that's a whole other message when we talk about submissive will versus his perfect will. I believe God has a perfect will for every one of us. And when we are fully committed to him, we are sold out to him, he will help your thoughts and your patterns sway into his perfect will into your life. Do you understand that? That's what he wants for you. He wants to be in his perfect will. And when you're in his perfect will, my goodness, things just seem to flow so much better and easier. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be a bed of roses. Roses are beautiful, but roses have thorns, right? When you look at the rose, you see how beautiful the rose is. But when you grab that rose on a stem, You got to watch the thorns. Well, that's the way God is. God says there is a beautiful point about being in His perfect will, even though getting up to that point, it's going to be a few thorns. It's going to cost things. It's going to cost you things. But that He says, well, if you will look at the cost, look at the cost of the thorns, look at the cost of what you're going through. And it isn't. You're right. The roses are at the top. But you got to go through the briar bushes to get to the roses. And it is not all roses in this walk of life. But if we are in His perfect will and we are committed to Him, He's going to, no matter what you go through. And we'll get into that even deeper now. You know? How can I do something until I really know what it is? Webster Dictionary says, commit means to bind oneself to a pledge and trust to another's, and commitment means to pledge based on honor. Wow. In the Hebrew, that word commitment means galal, which is to put in custody, to pledge, to run down, to seek, and to trust. So that's what God is trying to put into us when we talk about commitment. It's the commitment, it's to trust, to seek, to put our custody into someone else's hands. Faith and commitment gives us new power. Faith and commitment gives you and I new power. No matter what comes to us, no matter what comes our way, sickness, poverty, disaster, we never turn our eye from the goal that God has put into us. That's commitment. And that's exactly right, Roy, when you said, it's not always roses, but no matter what we go through, He's always there. He is always there. Well, you might ask this question, then what is commitment? And I'm glad you asked that question because I'd like to answer it for you. Commitment means a lot of things to different people. To each person, it might mean something different. However, the principle truly remains. To the boxer, it's getting off the mat one time more than you've been knocked down on the mat. To the marathoner, that race, it's running another 10 miles when your strength is totally gone. To the soldier, it's going over the hill, not knowing what's waiting on the other side, with reckless abandonment of self, yet committed to the cause. Now, that's pretty good, because I believe every Christian is a soldier. To the missionary, it's saying goodbye to your own comfort zone to make life better for others. Ooh. Do you understand that? And I ended up with, to the Christian. What is commitment to the Christian? It's all that and more, because everyone who is watching your life is depending upon you to get back up again. Run that 10 miles more. To display courage when faced with an unknown. And to die to self for the betterment of others. That's commitment to the Christian. It's all the above and so much more. There is no such thing as partial commitment. When the pilot of a giant airliner is speeding down the runway, there is a certain point where he cannot decide to remain on the ground any longer. When he crosses that line, he is committed to the air, or the plane crashes disastrously. That pilot cannot change his mind when the plane is two-thirds of the way down the runway. If he changes his mind, what will happen? Disaster. Disaster. See? And that's so true. You know, how many have ever been in a little bitty plane? Yes.
Second approach, and he yelled back, "I can't, I'm committed." And that probably lost his life. He had a cool one.
Yeah.
Right. Do you understand that's what commitment is? He couldn't turn back. And do you also understand? Now listen to what we're just saying. What are we talking about here? We're talking about commitment to God. That pilot was committed, even though when he made that landing, there was no way that he could pull that plane. I know I've been on a smaller planes are worse than big ones. It's harder to get it. Once you make that hit that ground, to try to veer back up, it's... You can't do that. You just can't turn around and say, okay, well, put the metal to the floor and go again. You can't do that. Once you hit ground, you know, you got your flaps down, everything. I know enough about planes to understand that once you make the commitment, you hit ground, you just can't take back off. You know, it does take time. Now, he could have if he didn't have that deer in the runway. But he couldn't do it. He was committed, and that commitment cost him his life. Do you understand that commitment in God could cost your life? Good example, too, is a Columbine. Okay? Most everybody knows that story. Where these two guys go into the school, and he goes from kid to kid to kid, and tries to get them to not commit their life to God. Came to this girl and finally said, you know what? Here it is. If you'll deny Christ right now, and she could have, that wouldn't have given up her commitment, but it would have, you know, for just a minute. My commitment now turns into, you know, contribution, not commitment. But she says, I don't care. I don't care. I am committed to God, and I'm not going to deny my life in Christ for you. You know the story. He killed her, shot her. Okay? But now let me give you the backlay of that whole story. The next 2-3 weeks, that town in Colorado, a mighty, mighty revival took place in the youth of that town because they saw her commitment. And they knew that they needed that commitment. They didn't need just a contribution. God does not want a contribution. God wants total, total commitment. This really gets to me at times because it's so true. Commitment is a word that we seem to be hearing a lot lately. One automobile manufacturer says that they are committed to excellence until the recalls come out. Anyway. Professional athletes, business persons, executives, etc. are all committed to their occupations. Most married people have affirmed a commitment to their spouse that goes something like this: to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death to us part, or till we fall out of love. No. Commitment is everything. And that's so true. In marriage, that's what it should be. I'm sorry to say, in marriage, you know, it's not that way a whole lot in today's society. But let me give you another little example. Robert McQuilgan was a president of a Bible college and seminary when he was faced with a monumentous decision. His wife, Muriel, contracted Alzheimer's disease. He could not continue as president and take appropriate care of his wife, who at this point could only speak in phrases and words and was prone to irrational behavior. She was afraid when she was not with her husband. Even his most trusted and godly friends advised him to put his wife in an institution for the sake of his ministry. After all, how could he refuse when things were going so well and he was only 57 years old? When the time came, McQuarkin's decision was firm. He took no great calculation. It was a matter of integrity. He committed. He had not promised 42 years before in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Later, he would go on to write of the joys and blessings he had received as a result of the special time spent
with Muriel. He made a commitment. And he, even though things were going well for his ministry, he was a president of a Bible college and a seminary. So he had things going. He could have put her into an institution and everything would have been well. He could have went and saw her all the time. But the commitment that he made was through sickness or through health. No matter what, for better, for worse. He made the commitment and he stuck by that commitment to her. And he spent years cherishing in the moments he cherished with her. You know, that's something. When I'm with all my people in our hospice program, and I'm with so many husbands that have, or wives that have, family member that has Alzheimer's, dementia, debility, you know, and they're losing the ability to understand. They even lose the ability to know who he really is or who she really is. And they come to me and say, "Pastor, I don't know how much longer I can." She or he doesn't even know me anymore. I walk in and she asks the question, "Who are you?" That's got to be hard. But they understand commitment. I have family members that have been married 65 years. That's commitment. That's commitment. Could you see him putting her or him away in an institution? The death do us part, and they keep them. And I'm proud to be able to come into their family and help in whatever way that I possibly can. That's commitment. Do you understand? Now, I'm hoping that you're getting the understanding of commitment. Commitment is a foundation for successful Christian living. The Lord is going to stand behind his promises. He is committed to what he has said and done. For the Christian, there can be nothing less. Faith and commitment is an absolute necessity in our Christian walk. Do you understand that? Now let me give you a little more example of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him." And we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? Yeah. Faith comes by hearing. So our faith and our commitment really starts in the Spirit. Because to hear the word of God and to hear God talking, God talks to you. Sometimes he really does, and you really can hear him audibly in your, but it's through your spirit that you're hearing. Understand? When you were saved once. You were born of the flesh, and when you were saved, now you are born of the Spirit. So your spirit was dead before you knew the Lord, and when you came to know the Lord, your spirit became alive. Correct? So we understand now that faith works on the spirit realm, right? So it's first and its beginnings in the Spirit. So shouldn't we continue in the Spirit? I'm going to say that one more time. If faith and commitment starts in the Spirit, when you accept the Lord, your spirit comes alive. You come alive into the Lord. When you could have read this word, there are many professors out there in colleges of today that take the word of God as an historical book. Praise God for that. But they don't have the spiritual knowledge. And when they come to know the Lord, then the spiritual knowledge comes into being. And this word of God becomes more than just a history book. It becomes your life. Your life, because God reveals to you every time you read it. He reveals something new to you. That's why I encourage you every day to open up this word and read something from it. And you know what I get? I got two apps on my phone. I turned my phone off, by the way. But I have two apps on my phone. Two Bible apps. One's a New King James Version, and it gives me a verse, scripture every day that I can read. And one's in the Amplified. Now, last night, how many of you received my little thing last night?
You received it because it came from the Amplified Bible. I read that and said, wow, I like this. So I ended up sending it to you, all of you. I actually got one response from someone I can't even remember. How she's even on my phone. Yeah, it must be on my hit list. Anyway, she responded back, thank you. Because she appreciated what was sent to her. So it's just those tidbits. That's why it's so important to get into this word. If you got a phone, a smartphone, get the app. Get the Bible app. You might get busy during the week and you might not be able to, but that Bible app every day will give you an option to read a scripture. If you can't read for 5 minutes, read a scripture. Let that scripture become revelation knowledge of what God wants to do in your life. I guarantee you, if you do that, it will increase your commitment to Him. Hallelujah. The true nature of commitment is found in, and I'm going to run out of time. It's found in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. It'll come up on the screen so you can follow along with me. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you understand? Do you understand? That's what it's going to take to make commitment. God was quizzing them. Will you make the commitment no matter what? No matter what you might go through? No matter what? No matter what? Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first and go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And to another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, now listen to this, because this is the clincher of that scripture. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm going to say that again because no one, not any of us today, having put your hand to the plow, having accepted the Lord as your Savior, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. God says you're always supposed to go forward. Never, never look back. Commitment starts from the heart. Some want everything to be perfect before they're willing to commit themselves of anything. Yeah. True commitment always precedes achievement. Michael Jordan stated, heart is what separates the good from the great. The heart. If you really want to make a difference in other people's lives as a Christian, look into your heart to see if you really have faith. And then, with that faith, are you really committed no matter what comes your way? Commitment is always tested by action. It's one thing to talk about commitment, and it's another thing to really do something about commitment. It separates the doers from the dreamers. The only real measure of commitment is action. Arthur Gordon acknowledged, nothing is easier than saying words. Nothing is harder than living them day after day. As a Christian, we will face plenty of obstacles and oppositions. If you haven't already started and received and have gone through a few. I think all of us probably have gone through a few obstacles in our lives. And there will be times when faith and commitment is the only thing that carries you forward. If you want to get anywhere worthwhile, you must have faith and you must be committed. Isn't that true? When it comes to commitment, there really is only four types of people. Are you ready for them? And I'm about done. There's four types of people when we talk about commitment. Cop-outs. That's people who have no goals and do not commit to nothing. Holdouts. People who don't know if they can reach their goals, so they're afraid to commit. Dropouts. People who start towards a goal but quit when the going gets tough. And then I love this one, the all-outs. All-outs. People who set goals, commit to them, and have the faith to pay the price to reach them, no matter what. That's commitment. Well, how do we improve our level of commitment? Here's some things. We must measure our commitment. We may truly believe we are committed Christians, yet our actions indicate otherwise. Spend a few hours tallying up how you spend your time and where you spend your money. Look at how much time you spend at work, in service with family, in health and recreational activities, and so forth. Spend time. Think on those things, you know? Figure out how much money you spend on living expenses, entertainment, personal development, and giving. All these are true measures of your commitment. Once you start that and you kind of lay the list out, and I say, you know, take the time to do it. Get a piece of paper and write on the things. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. You might be surprised of the outcome if you take that and be truthful to what you do. Be truthful. We must know what's worth dying for and what's worth living for. One of the questions that every Christian must ask is, what am I willing to die for and what am I willing to live for? If it comes down to it, what in life would you not be able to stop doing, no matter what the consequences were? Wow. Spend some time this week and meditate on that thought. Write down what you discover. Then see if that matches your Christian ideals. Would you die for your faith? Would you die for your marriage? Would you die for your commitment to God? That's something that only you can answer, because I can't answer that. I can't answer that. This morning we can have faith and we can be committed. That's exactly what God wants from all of us. To have that faith and be committed to what He wants to do in you. He has a perfect will for you. A perfect will. And He wants that. All we have to do is be committed to say, no matter what, God, no matter what, I'm going to walk through this. When the going gets tough, I'm going to walk through this. When it's not roses, I'm going to walk through it. When I'm not on the mountaintop and I'm in the valley low and everything seems to not be going my way, I'm going to be total commitment. See, the problem is the devil knows that too. And he's going to challenge your commitment left and right. He challenged our commitment. Okay? We had everything going for us. Money, house, everything. Devil tried to take it all away. I won't tell you we weren't discouraged. I won't tell you I went in my house and cried, moaned, groaned, you know, did a little pity trip to myself. But I'm thankful that I had Christian brothers and sisters that loved us enough to come to our house and pray with us. And that's where you come in. When you see a brother or sister that's hurting, don't help them hurt. Go and pray for them. Don't talk about them. Oh my goodness, please don't talk about them. Job had a lot of those types. Don't be a Job comforter, because that'll do no good. But do. I'm so thankful for that Christian. They went to our college. One of our instructors to the college came by and spent time with us and prayed with us and got us through a very rough time in our life. You're going to go through those rough times. Does that mean you're any less committed? That probably means you're probably really committed. So you're going to go through those things. Just understand that
God's there. This, so many times we face seemingly unsolvable problems and impossible situations. But God is able to open ways before us which now seem hidden from our views. God's message to us is, be of good cheer. Trust in the Lord and go ahead. Be of good cheer. Trust in God. Trust in Him and He will see you through. That's commitment. And I'm sorry to say, in our society, there's too many people out there that are trying to throw commitment down and make it just a little contribution. I'll contribute this to the Lord. I'll contribute that to the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, we have a jealous God. He wants all of you or none of you. Now that's rough and that's hard. And I'm sorry that I have to say it that way. But if I didn't say it, I wouldn't be honest to you. God doesn't want your contributions. He wants your commitment. God wants all of you. And I'll say this. If we become truly committed to God, then we'll walk from this building out there and we'll hit a cruel world that could care less, but our commitment will see us through. You're going to see somebody out there that's going to see you, going to see your commitment, and it's going to say, wow, why do you continue on? I've known what you've gone through. I know what you're going through. Why do you continue on? See, they are checking you out. And that is an open door for you to let your commitment show them the right way. We're living in a world that does not want commitment. I'm telling you that this day, God wants commitment. He wants all of you. Sharon, come. I close and leave you with that. I'm not sure if Ray will be preaching next week or myself, but if I am, we'll continue in faith, in another realm of faith. I really believe that's where we need to be. Cynthia and Rhonda, thank you. Because last week when we were talking, you guys said something that just truly encouraged me. See, you guys probably didn't even know what you said. But we were talking about what went on with this young lady and about the Holy Spirit and about the move, about Pentecost. How it's kind of got a bad rap at times, and when people hear that word Pentecost, they shy away from it because it is the Holy Spirit. And Cynthia, you said, Pastor, you and Ray, that's exactly what you guys have been hitting on. It's faith. Faith to believe that God can do anything. And that's where we need to be back on. I don't care if we got 10 people in here or 1,000 people in here. We've got to learn to understand that if we will abide by the faith that God gives us, then God can start moving in that faith. And we are going to see, you are going to see miracles. You are going to see beyond your even imagination of what miracles God is going to do when we make that commitment and that faith to believe God can do anything. God has not changed. And I explained that to that young lady. I said, has God changed? She said, no. Okay, well then if He hasn't changed, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, what did He do? Did He commit miracles? Did He raise the dead? Did He do all this? Oh yeah. And so you're telling me today that He can't do it today? Well, I didn't say that. I said, yes, you are. You're telling me that because of your lack of faith. You want to blame it into one word, a little word, Pentecost. I don't put it into the word Pentecost. I put it in the word, where's your faith? If you have faith to believe that God can do it, God will do it. That's what He said. And that's what's wrong with our world today. Our world and our culture today, we're losing faith. And we're trying to do it by our recreation. We're trying to do it by our programs. We're trying to do it by everything else but what God wants. He wants faith. And I believe with that faith becomes commitment. He wants all of you, not a part. He doesn't want a contribution. Understand, the chicken gave a contribution. That hog gave it all. Total commitment. That airline, small plane, captain of that plane, pilot of that plane, he was committed. When he hit the ground, I'm sorry, even if it took his life, he had to be committed. There was no way of scratching it off. There was no way of saying, put the metal down, go. He was committed. Those missionaries, they're committed. Yes. He wants you to be hot. He also did say, though, if you're not hot, be cold. See? What does that cold mean? Either know me or don't know me. But if you're lukewarm, if you just want to be a contributor, he said, just don't. Because I'll spew you out of my mouth. I want us to be hot, on fire for God. I've seen it. I have seen the presence of God. I have seen the power of God. I have seen Him do things that are unbelievable. Unbelievable. How could He do these things? In one of my churches, I was praying for a person, a young girl, and we were praying for the girl, and she was a Baptist. This was on a Saturday night meeting, and all these young kids, when I was the youth pastor in Eureka, California, and moved to Fortuna, we had our Saturday night service, and all the youth, I had 45 youth in my Eureka church, and they were all coming to Saturday night service. And these were Baptist kids. And she came up, and we began to pray for the ones in the front. When I prayed for her, she fell. She hit the back edge of the bench, the pew. Now, let me tell you, that took my spiritual point and my point. I said, oh, Lord, what's going to happen? She got hurt. She's hurt. She, for about 15, 20 minutes, just prayed and worshiped God and then got up. Needless to say, I didn't ask her how you were. You know, that would be lack of faith. I just believed it. If she did it that, and if it was of God, that God will see to it that she was okay. She was great. She was filled. She says, I have never experienced that in my life. It was so good. I was walking in heaven.
She took a big, large, probably about 500, and that's big in Eureka, 500, they had about 500 members or so, and the youth pastor called us up and said that we were taking his youth. They would come on a Saturday night. They would come to the altars and one would pray for each other. It wasn't us. We had, you know, nothing to do with it. We just brought them the gospel and let them taste and see the goodness. And the greatness of God.
Oh, God.
And how wonderful it is to feel God's presence.
So I'm telling you that it can happen anywhere. It can happen here. But it requires commitment. I'm going to just close in prayer, but I want you to take this message of commitment with you. Think on what I said. Take a piece of paper and write down contribution, commitment, and start weighing what you're really doing for God. Are you contributing to God, or are you truly commitment? That's for every one of you. I think you need to judge yourself. I can't judge you, and I am not the judge. God is. But take that paper and write down on one side contribution, on the other side commitment, and start figuring out where you stand as you walk down that road. Your recreation time, your giving time, your work time, your family time. Where is that? Where is that? I think you'll be surprised when you get to the end of that sheet to see where you really are when it comes to God. Heavenly Father, I pray this day, Lord, that you help us learn to be more committed to you. Faith and commitment, I think, falls in suit with one another. It all belongs into the spirit realm. And if it began in the spirit realm, I believe it needs to continue in the spirit realm. We need to be committed to you no matter what we go through. We need to be committed to you when we're out on the road and we're seeing people. And God, if we're truly committed to you, God, you're going to bring people our way that needs to know you, Lord. We're going to bring people our way that are down and out, oh God. And through our commitment to you, Lord, we'll be able to witness to them. We'll be able to show them the way. We will be able to plant the seed that you have allowed us to plant to those. And oh God, I pray, Lord, help us to do and to be what you want us to be. I pray, Lord, for those people today that are discouraged, that are down and out. Those people that are going through struggles, oh Lord, whatever that might be. I pray, God, that you be with them, oh Lord. That you encourage them, oh Lord. And oh God, that we walk in the spirit realm, oh Lord. That in that spirit realm, oh God, that you will talk to them and tell them it will be okay.
It will be okay. Stay aside with me. Walk, Lord, with me. Walk, Lord, with them. And, oh God, as they look at that footprints, Lord, in the sand, oh Lord, they'll no longer see two sets of footprints, but they'll see one because you're taking them on your shoulders and walking with them. God, be with us, I pray, this week. Bring us back next week on fire for you, Lord. And I thank you, God, for the testimonies, oh Lord, that have been said today. And, oh God, the things that have been said today, Lord Jesus, that you've opened up the hearts of individuals and let them talk, oh Lord. I do believe, oh God, that's okay. That's okay, Lord. Lord, take what we've learned today with us this week. I pray in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Praise you. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful week.